You have tuned into Paradigm Shifters. Welcome. Our Paradigm Shifters are beings who are making a difference in this bubbling collective of ours at this time in history as we aim for the shift. The people that we've got with us tonight, and I say people, are making a huge difference. One of them is Ginger Metro, who channels Galexis, and so many of you have called me or written me and said how much you enjoy in the archives, especially our times with Galexis. So welcome to the show, Ginger, and welcome to Galexis, too.
Okay, hi, this is Ginger, not Galexis, but yes, I'll say hello for me and Galexis.
Yeah, people have been saying, you know, I've been through the archives, and I really enjoy, who is that begins with G? I really love it, so... So we're answering the call of, I think there's been about five or six recently, so that's a good hello.
That's good, yeah.
And we've been talking, you and I, we've been bringing forward concepts of emergence and change on the planet with Galexis. So it's nice to know what you yourself are doing. Are you learning a lot from Galexis? Are you...
Well, I am. I have, over time, been frustrated by the situation where other people get to talk to Galexis, and they get answers and things like that that are really helpful for them. But I'm in trance, and it's if I ask for myself, it was not really all that good. So I basically have made a request of Galexis to really speak more directly to me, and so now I'm kind of hearing them intuitionally.
Oh, this is
nice. Times I ask a question, and then if I can be, you know, relaxed and open and quiet, I can very often get stuff.
That's really exciting, isn't it?
Right. It's been really good. So Galexis has been giving me a lot of information for me, and a lot of it's surrounding motivation.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. In fact, they just finished a couple of weeks ago giving a weekend workshop on making the Great Leap, they called it. Mm-hmm. And the Great Leap is really where you step into or jump into a greater you. It's an emergence. You go into the light chaos where everything's happening. And in order for you to be able to function there, you've got to have your motivation on track. And my motivation just was, you know, sporadic at best. And very often, most of my motivation was slave driver motivation, where I was forcing myself to continue even if my interest had waned.
Oh, I see.
And when you do that, you blow out your circuits. And I didn't know that, but I blew out my circuits pretty regularly. And so it gave me a lot of resistance to doing new things and getting into my interests, because once they started to wane, then I'd have to crack the whip on myself and push.
So what would be the choice? What would you do instead, Ginger?
Well, Galexis gave me a whole piece on this, and so actually what I did is that I put it on the Galexis blog, which is on the website, and it's just my personal experience, but it just...
Oh, I'll read it. Is it galexisspirit.com?
That's correct. Galexisspirit.com.
Okay.
And there's two S's there in the middle, the Galexis and the Spirit, they're both in there. So... if you look on the left side of the home page, it says Galexis blog, and if you click there, you'll get the message on motivation that Galexis gave to me and what to do about it.
Well, I'm going to pop in and read it. I want to ask you another thing. Is Galexis brings through a really wonderful transformative energy. I often think of that kind of energy as being a little like acupuncture, in that it breaks densities and just gets people to unfold.
Oh, that's a really cool way of looking at it, Dan. Yeah, that's right.
And does that happen with you while you're channeling Galexis? Are you not also getting a great deal of that energy? Doesn't your whole system kind of start to...
Oh, my whole system is healed, and it does all sorts of wonderful things. I used to have chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and Galexis has really helped me a lot with that. Now, I know that some of it is emotional-based, and a lot of our body chemistry is based on emotional reactions to foods and environmental situations of the past. And so I've been working on that. But also, just overall in general, Galexis has helped me find the right people to work with me on my body. It's helped to alleviate pain and tension and tiredness and so forth. But this motivational thing was kind of a core issue for me. So I feel like I'm in a great pivotal shift right now with that.
Well, so is the ideal motivation when you're actually in touch with your own soul's journey and it's a flow?
Yeah. You might as well let Galexis explain that, because that workshop that Galexis did where they aligned people's motivational bodies, and by the way, it's coming out on CD in another week.
Good. I was just going to ask you that. Great.
And it's called Making the Great Leap.
Okay. Oh,
and it's all on how to align your motivation, because if your motivation is off and you hit the light chaos and all the activities and everything, and you're not in sync with yourself and in your flow, in your divine flow, then you can spin off and spin out and fry yourself real quickly.
Well, I am going to get them to talk about that, because these are really rapidly changing times.
And oh, absolutely.
My guides were saying a while back, because I was doing some channeling, and they were saying that if you're on, it's not the same, but it's kind of similar to what you're saying. If you're on track with yourself, sometimes when you're moving through things very, very quickly, it can feel like you're just flowing still.
That's right. And that's the idea. That's the idea. It's you know, but you have to have a certain patience with yourself to set and align yourself so that when the speed takes off, you're not hitting walls like crazy.
Right, or losing your balance entirely.
And losing your balance and crashing, right.
And I think the other thing, Ginger, is questioning what it is you're doing. I think that's where...
Well, self-inquiry has always been the secret to spiritual development.
Well, that's true, isn't it? So it's a combination of kind of surrendering into it kind of
mm-hmm.
thing. Well, I'm excited to talk to you and to also talk to Galexis, if you think.
So why don't I just go on into trance and see what Galexis has to say about this?
I will be entranced.
No, I'm entranced. Okay. All right, we are here.
Hello, Galexis. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Veronica. So what a pleasure to be on your show again.
And it's wonderful. I don't know if you remember. You probably do, but we've been kind of doing a series with huge gaps in between.
And,
and actually focusing on, off and on through the various shows we've done on emergence and talking with Ginger about motivation. I think that's a really key issue. Maybe you could explain it to people. What does it really mean? How do we tap our motivation? How do we clear it up?
All right. Well, everyone has a natural motivation. You know, you have a motivation to survive, right?
Right.
You have a motivation to, you seek approval, love, nurturing, you know, good positive feelings. You have a natural motivation to create. You have a natural motivation to imagine, to plan, to change. You know, you always are wanting to change things. Human beings are always wanting to change. As much as you humans complain about change and resist change, you want it very badly, because you always want your life to be better. And so you're always in some step or stage or something, some directional move towards a future that you're hoping that you can create that can be better than the one that you have now.
Mm-hmm.
And so the motivation is that which takes your desire and plugs it into action so that you can energize your imagination and energize your desire and move forward in an applied way on the physical plane to kind of effectively make shifts there.
Is this a drive to match our soul journey?
Well, actually, it's a what we would call perhaps a physical plane reflection, or a reflection to be good, of our original true motivation, which is the motivation of our soul, and that is to return to the divine and to experience divine union. That's our highest motivation.
And our style, I guess, is wrapped around that, isn't it? Our style being our personality and what it is.
Oh, yeah, all your identity and how you see yourself and how you perceive yourself and how you perceive your world and what your beliefs are and how you imagine things to be and what assumptions you make and all those kinds of things is all the stuff And you're working with that stuff because that's the stuff of the illusion of the physical plane that you want to get on top of, you want to become aware of, which is part of your self-discovery,
mm-hmm.
part of your self-realization journey. And as you realize more and more that you are the divine being, that you are a powerful reality creator, that what you think determines your reality, you know,
mm-hmm.
then you start having fun with it and start modulating the physical plane.
Hmm.
And that's part of your homeward journey right there. But the ultimate end goal of your motivations, all your motivations, all the actions that you take, especially once you consciously get upon your spiritual path, is to return to that unconditional love, that ocean of bliss, that divine, what do they call it, Godhead, that the lap of the goddess, the, you know, you want to go back home. There's a call of your soul to return.
And it's many, many lifetimes, isn't it?
Well, it takes many lifetimes, but generally there's a system that you have kind of, you can go through many different lifetimes, future lifetimes, past lifetimes, whatever, working on different themes. But there are generally anywhere between 1 and 4 lifetimes that are, we would call, homegoing lifetimes.
Hmm.
And in those homegoing lifetimes, you are consciously on a spiritual path with your intention consciously. And your intention is to connect with, to seek and experience the divine.
So do we take all these other lives as just diversions and digressions? Or
actually, no. They're all on track.
Oh.
They're all part of our discovery. And they're every lifetime, as well as every event that happens in your life, is a reflection or a feedback to you from your illusion that gives you more idea on who you are and what you are capable of doing.
Hmm.
And so that's the doing and the being. And as you do and be, you know, that you you gradually come to a place where your being is greater and then your doing is greater.
Hmm.
And you're moving in a way that gives you greater pleasure, greater joy, greater upliftment, and you get touches of the divine as you go. You know how there are many people who will have phenomenal experiences, some kind of tremendous transcendent breakthrough experience that changes their life.
Right.
You know, and they never forget it.
Hmm.
You know, it's there. It says, this is the way.
Hmm.
This is where you're going.
If we get in touch with our truer motivation or correct the motivations that are a little questionable, do we get onto that transcendent material more easily?
Oh, absolutely.
Hmm.
Absolutely. And your physical plane reality works much better, too.
Hmm. Ginger was talking about having had fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. I often think, and I'd like your expression of this, but I often think that they are really suppression illnesses.
Well, yes, they are, indeed.
Do you think that's kind of a suppression because of the wrong kind of motivation? Or?
And you're exactly correct. That's right.
Hmm.
When you are told that you must motivate yourself from a certain place, or for a certain agenda, for a certain purpose, and you learn that, and you think that that's what the way it's supposed to be, then you will truncate your natural true self and your truth and ignore your truth of who you are so that you can fulfill what you think you should be doing.
Hmm.
All right? And so a lot of the motivation that people have is to make money,
mm-hmm.
okay, which is not really the essential foundational motivation. It's a side effect of being motivated to survive, to live.
Right.
Right. But then it also seems to get snagged up into getting loved and getting approved of and getting feeling valuable. And there's all these other agendas, for example, that go along on top of money.
Interesting, isn't it?
And so people can get sidetracked by the motivation for money, rather than realizing, well, what is it I'm really being motivated for?
Yeah, because it corrals your identity, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. In your culture, money is equivalent to value.
Right.
How valuable are you? Well, if you're rich, you're more valuable than if you're poor.
I know.
You know, if you're
and the
poor,
rich
who
people,
cares?
And rich people aren't necessarily happier. That's the interesting thing, isn't it?
Right, and that's also another one of those kind of crazy beliefs that are in there, because there are some rich people that are really happy.
That's right.
But you don't really see those so much. because you, most people, when they're poor, they perceive rich people to be snobs.
Right.
Right? And judgmental snobs, right?
Right.
They're not aware that the reality is reflecting back to them that they are judging and they are being snobbish.
That's so true, isn't it?
And so that what that does is it can trap poor people into being poor, and then they have to work harder and try to motivate themselves to make more money with more anger. And here's where the fibromyalgia and the chronic fatigue and everything comes in, is where there's all this frustration and a sense of loss of yourself. There's a sense of duplicity. You're living a double life. You're living the part of you that's more real, that's more true to yourself, you've put on a back shelf,
mm-hmm.
you see. And in this process, then the part of you that is the one acceptable to society, where you think you're going to get your goodies, is the one that gets all the energy.
So,
now, in order to do this, you human beings have to establish within your psyche a motivator. And the way that you see motivating yourself to be someone that you are not is called motivating by the stick.
Oh.
Okay, it's not by the carrot, per se.
Right.
The carrot looks, and you go for the carrot, but in order for you to keep going for a carrot that's not real, like money, it's just not real enough for people,
mm-hmm.
especially spiritual people, really, truly, intrinsically don't care about money.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have it, and they're bummed out that they have to have it. But they put the stick on them. They beat themselves to force themselves to make a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
thinking that if I get enough money, then I can go back and find myself that's hidden away on the shelf and retrieve myself and become the person I want to be. But I've got to get this money thing done first. or I've got to get this relationship, perfect relationship done first. Or I have to get this child out of high school first. Or I've got to, you know, and there's always these conditions of what has to be done first and in priority.
But so tell me this, if somebody discovers that their motivation is, for example, to make enough money and get their child out of high school so that their softer spiritual self is safe to express in the world because you've already covered your identity.
Right.
That's sort of examining one's inner motivation, isn't it? And actually recognizing it. Do you think that's the beginning?
If you can be consciously aware of it, if anyone who has that is consciously aware of it, that the first thing they're going to feel is the conflict between the two selves, between the two motivations. One motivation is to wake up and maybe write some poetry and sit under the tree, and the other motivation is to go to work, to support the family, to help the children, to get things done, to achieve something, to get recognized, to get loved, to get whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And these two motivations then are in conflict, and so a person's energy field has only a certain amount of, you know, kundalini flow going through it. And so that second chakra, which is where you really determine where your motivational energy is going to be assigned, will assign it to the have-tos, the shoulds, the oughts, the musts, the needs. And so it'll prioritize by the need. But the part of you that really wants to do what you really want to do that's really true to you is going to go into passive resistance. It's going to be aggravated. It's going to be frustrated. It's going to, you know, perhaps be in powerless rage.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to restrain the health or the healing, isn't it?
And what that will do is, well, that's where you get the energy loss,
mm-hmm.
because the inner slave driver, which is the part of you that applies the stick, you know, says, okay, no, you got to push through. You got to complete. You got to get this done. You got to achieve. In a sense, to do that, you have to somehow or another overcome this drag, this friction, this passive resistance, which means that part of you is resisting, which is using up a lot of energy, and the other part of you has to overcome that energy to force you to do what you're supposed to be doing.
I think many, many people who aren't very conscious have that going on all the time.
And you would be surprised how many people who seem to be very spiritual, very conscious, have this going on too.
Mm-hmm. And I think it cycles through my days, actually. Not all the time, but...
No, but probably at some point in your past it was all the time.
Terrible, yes.
You know, and you just assumed that was the way it was. and you were just frustrated. Now, this
I thought it was
energy,
for coping. I thought it was for being
a
good
coping,
girl.
Coping, right. Yeah. But you see, it drains so much extra energy out of your system.
I know, it's tremendous.
That you cannot direct towards spiritual enlightenment or whatever you want, really want. Mm-hmm. It's all mangled up in there in conflict. And mm-hmm. this is what creates chronic fatigue.
That's really interesting. So that's actually a condition of the density in which we're living, isn't it? So what motivates you beings?
What's that?
You beings, you Galexis, what mm-hmm. motivates the coalescence of who you are?
Well, we, as you, have as our ultimate motivation, divine union as well.
Mm.
And part of the journey towards divine union is to love, touch, and heal.
Mm.
And so we feel very highly motivated to do that because as we love more. And we become more.
Hmm.
And we become more loving. And we become more empowered in our love.
Hmm.
And then we can touch and heal more. And then that comes back to us and that we become more. You see, there's all these impressions that, you know, guides from the other side are all self-realized and they're the teachers and you humans are just the students and all that kind of thing. But you have to realize that the journey to the divine is an infinite and joyous journey. And so just because we're a little further along on the journey doesn't mean that we know it all.
Right.
Right? And so there are people who get into a whole ego thing is that I get to talk to the highest beings, and these highest beings, you know, are beyond ego, which is an ego statement, of course, and on the part of the person claiming it. And therefore, you know, this is the way it is. And therefore, because I'm associated with these guides, therefore I am better than other people. And I should be listened to and paid a lot of money.
Right.
You see, so it can get warped and twisted so much. But you see, if you could remember that your ultimate motivation, your ultimate direction in life is God realization. And the only way you go there is through self-realization.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Now, I learned, at least I heard, that that love as a commodity, love as a thing, mm-hmm. is an ever-expanding reality, and that many of you are learning more and more about it, that we shouldn't be so frustrated about it here because it's just an ongoing process of expanding.
It is. Even God, Goddess, all that is, the ultimate divine that you think is just sitting there on some nice throne somewhere, they're also learning more about love, too. They're expanding.
So that's the infinite.
The universe doesn't stop.
Divinity is always in a state of unfoldment, then.
Absolutely, an expansion.
Wow. Well, now that we're off the planet, I wanted to ask how there's so much more about alien cultures being easily seen on this planet and being recognized by governments and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that a little bit? What can we expect? And are alien beings going to be presenting themselves more physically to more of us?
Well, you have to first understand that it takes a tremendous amount of energy on the part of an ET to condense itself so that it can be perceived physically.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, they really don't want to do it a lot. They want to do it very sparingly at
okay.
best. What they would prefer is for humans to upgrade their perceptions so that humans could tap into the universal language often called telepathy.
Aha.
And speak with them more directly. They would like that.
Well, now we've been talking about emergence. Is that a part of our emergence, is that we're beginning to emerge into that kind of universal language, the ability to transform?
Oh, yeah, that's part of it. The emergence is much more what our focus is with that when we use that term. The emergence is the emergence of that conscious awareness of your true self and your true nature
okay.
and living life according to your truth. That's the emergence. That's when you emerge, and that's when you come into a greater sense of self-realization.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, then you can expand into the God realization by loving others without looking to see what you're going to get from them.
How much you're going to make from that.
And how much money you're going to make off of them, yeah. Basically, it becomes a totally, what you might call an altruistic kind of thing, just because it feels so damn good to love, mm-hmm. that you're going to love, and that's just part of your going home, is feeling more and more love. Now, in the process of it, you'll have to do certain activities, of course, on the physical plane, in a state of loving, mm. that will create your income and get your tasks done and run your errands and all that kind of stuff.
So you're saying we get into a motivation, which is of a much more conscious and self-realizing.
That's right. And yeah. If you're in your higher motivation, just even the mundane activities of your life, then have a greater sense of positive flow and energy and happiness. And you're just, because it's about being. Now, the extraterrestrials really already know more or less who they are.
Mm.
Okay, they don't have the same identity crises that humans have.
They never did? Most of them never did? Or is that something they've just evolved
past? Well, most of
past?
Them never did. There's a few of them that got caught up in genetic experiments and working with various soul pieces, unconscious pieces, and so on. And they got themselves out of balance. Some of them did.
Hmm.
But we would say the vast majority of them have very peaceful lifetimes on other planets and just... And because they're wanting to go on a spiritual journey, and they know how to function so much better, in a sense, than humans do on that telepathic level, they are able to, you know, share more of their love, and they want to come out and they want to see what we're doing here, you know, the humans on this plane, mm-hmm. on the physical plane, because the experiment on planet Earth is really so much about love
mm-hmm.
that there's... To many, many people would be surprised that there are many humans who are more spiritually advanced than ETs,
mm-hmm.
but they have not developed their higher perceptions.
Oh, I see. So that there's a block in communication.
The communication isn't there yet.
Well, so how are we doing as a species? How's the collective doing with the emergence and our ability to...
Well, the collective is still going through the thrashes and the throes of the dark chaos.
Oh, Lord.
Because all the rage and the terror has to be come to the surface, has to be expressed, has to be released. People have to, you know, step into their power. They have to let go of the old identities and the old stories about themselves and their old belief systems and so on. And many people will not do this unless they are severely challenged, either mm-hmm. emotionally, physically, or mentally, or, you know, in some kind of way. So, hence, a lot of external stress going on
mm-hmm.
in the environment and in the culture, and you know this whole thing about the collapse of the money system a bit and all that kind of thing. A lot of New Agers were conspiracy theorists were waiting eagerly for you know money to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh yes, the currency is going to die, and there's going to be mayhem, and it's going to be the opportunity for the light to shine and for us to step forth with light currency, and then we'll be rich millionaires.
Motivation again, yes.
Yeah, there they go. You know, and so in a sense, they've been waiting for this destruction of the currency and so on, and they thought that it was going to happen in Congress, and they thought this and that and the other. It had all sorts of scenarios on it. They didn't take it into consideration that it was part of a housing bubble that was based on fantasy and delusion.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were in fantasy and delusion of their own.
But see, that's a trick. If you're trying to think and grow into thinking positively and creating through your thoughts and so on,
mm-hmm.
there is something about the collective that makes that a little bit more, it's more awkward to try to be out of fantasy and yet creating through fantasy. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the collective, again, you have mm-hmm. to understand, you as a spiritual being,
mm-hmm.
the collective is a reflection to you of what you need to look at
mm-hmm.
inside you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, if there's delusion and fantasy out there, and there is, it would be wise for you to use that as feedback to say, okay, where is my delusion and fantasy inside me? Where do I get snagged up in all sorts of, you know, weird types of thinking and perceiving?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very useful to recognize that as you heal And as you come into your personal emergence, mm-hmm. you will find that the reality out there, the social climate that's out there, the extraterrestrials and the governments and all that kind of stuff will shift and open up. And that's part of what's going on, is that spiritual people have to realize that you just don't, you know, get spiritual and you just go into meditation and go into samadhi and bliss and so on, and that'll solve all the problems on the planet.
Oh, darn, that doesn't solve all the problems?
No, it doesn't. It just is a wondrous, wonderful escape on your part.
Mm-hmm.
And that if everybody was doing that, perhaps, you know, there'd be a little bit higher vibe if people valued that on the planet, indeed. But would civilization function? Not particularly well.
So the trick is, we know about visualizing and meditating and creating with our mind and with our hearts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we must be able to see what the reflections back from the collective are, don't we? We need to see.
Yes, and you need to know what that means.
Yeah, so does
you know
that
how to utilize it. Like, for example, look at this recent election with all the politics and the craziness and stuff.
Oh my gosh, and all the hate literature that went along with
oh,
it.
Oh yeah, all the anger and rage and panic and fear and paranoia, blah blah blah, da 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 da, and all of that. But you see, what that's saying is that, you know, we're in the dark chaos, and these emotions have to be brought to light. You have mm-hmm. to see the rage, you have to get in touch with the angers. And a lot of spiritual people are trying really hard not to feel any anger. And
that makes me furious.
And then on top of it, then they think, you know, that it's appropriate to judge.
Right.
Instead of understanding and opening their heart to find out, you know, why are these people so angry? What is it that's inside them that they're yearning for, that they're aching for, that they're moving for? What's their motivation? But, you know,
so that's the trick right there, I think, okay? Because I'm perplexed about being political, and I'm perplexed about not paying attention to the news and then paying attention to the news. I just don't quite know what on earth to do these days.
Well, you have what you want to realize is that every individual is going to go through this macrocosm on their own microcosmic level.
Hmm.
There's some place inside you you're really pissed about something.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you're feeling that perhaps you don't have enough power, you're not being heard, you're not being recognized. Excuse us.
I think that not being heard is so crucial, because sometimes when I watch people yelling and screaming at each other about, for example, health care, it feels like nobody hears anybody, and the truth can't come forward because there's so much illusions slapping at each other, you know?
Well, the thing is that if your motivation is to be heard but not to listen,
yeah,
then you can get really stuck. And so what you're going to get is feedback from your reality. If you don't want to listen, you're going to get people not listening to you.
Well, that's true, isn't it?
You see, and then when people don't listen to you, you have to say, well, what's going on? I'm the common denominator here. People are not listening to me, mm-hmm. and I'm really pissed about it. I'm angry that people are not listening to me. Am I listening to them?
Hmm.
And a lot of people don't want to listen to other people because they're afraid that other people are going to judge them. They're going to be shamed, humiliated, made fun of, ridiculed, etc.
Or being taken over.
Or being controlled, manipulated, mm-hmm. you know, overwhelmed, etc. So a lot of people are resisting really hearing what other people are saying. If you can understand that everybody has a motivation, and that if you can see what their motivation is, you'll find that motivation's in you too. And if you can get clear about that, you can then clarify yet another piece of your own motivation, put yourself more in sync with your divine mission, and be able to love more.
Mm.
And from there is more people doing that. This is, of course, a lot of self-inquiry. This is a lot of personal work,
right.
And a lot of people don't want to do it because they're afraid that that they're going to feel the pain of the old shames and the humiliations, and they're going to feel powerless like they did when they were children. Mm-hmm. So they're like running away from it, trying to escape it, and then or pointing finger and judging somebody else, so the attention and the judgment and humiliation goes another direction and not at them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these kinds of adjustments that are made as reactions and resistance to actually opening up and being free and listening. But if you can actually hear a person, even if they're foaming in anger and absolutely saying the most idiotic stuff imaginable, if you can just kind of sense what is their motivation under there. Their motivation may not may be on the surface an attempt to control, to judge, to shame, or whatever, but inside it all, there is a person in there that's hurting.
It's vulnerable. Yeah, I burst into tears the other day because of some political thing that I was trying to listen and hear and so on, but I didn't get far into the vulnerability. I just started to cry and went, I don't know if I can handle any more of this information. It's I mean, nobody cared, right? But how many of us, I mean, I was alone. Do you know what I mean? It was with the television.
Right.
But how many of us is it going to take doing self-inquiry for it to send a wave of transformation, or have I got the wrong kind of way of looking at it?
Well, it's not going to be numbers.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's about resonance. It's about vibration. And the thing is, you have to realize that this whole physical plane is an illusion. And see, most people keep forgetting that.
But you know, it's funny, and I've said this recently, I understand that, and then part of me hasn't a clue what that means. Do you see what I mean?
Okay, the illusion means that everything is impermanent.
Right, okay.
And there's nothing that's permanent, that's absolutely, that's there, totally reliable and unchanging, that's out there in the world. Nothing. It's all changing. So there's nothing you can kind of hook onto and say, that's the absolute truth. Because it's going to change tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
You see. And the thing is this scares a lot of people because they are not empowered within themselves to respond as enlightened beings.
Or as somebody who's willing to be in a state of change. People are trying to nail down.
That's right. They're feeling insecure. They're feeling like they're 8 years old again.
Mm-hmm.
And or they're afraid that it's like they're having problems with their peer groups, like they're a teenager or something. And they go into those old emotions and those old identifications. And so they see the world as this huge, big, unwieldy, overwhelming thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they think, oh, well, the only way we're going to do it is we've got to have vast numbers of us to rise up, you know, and take charge and overturn this horrendous, you know, control and domination. And we're going to do it with love, damn it. And we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. We're going to point out the
error. I'm going to love you whether you like it or not.
that's right. But you see, the thing, it's not like that. It's if you change you,
mm-hmm.
if you come to a place of peace within you and recognize how amazingly powerful you are, once you get that awareness, once you get that knowing, then you can respond with love and compassion to what's going on in the world.
Hmm.
And then you can just start effectively changing what's going on out there. Because if you change you, is not the reflection of you going to change?
Well, that's true, isn't it? But when you're going back to motivation, I go, yeah, I can sort of understand all that. And sometimes I get tripped up by things that I see, the things that I perceive that I think are, for example, going round and round and round in a cycle of greed or something. And I think of, like, past lives. I think of different situations. I go, it's always been that way.
Uh-huh.
You see what I mean? And then you get
That's
tripped
right.
up.
Then you start thinking that is more real because it seems to have a pattern that's repetitive, and you're looking for something that has a more permanence to it.
Exactly. And I got really heartbroken about that recently and had to get, you know, talked out of that again.
All right. Well, that's good that you got talked out of that, because things are in such a flux and change all around the planet that even if you think that this is the way it is, you know, if you will change your own identification with yourself as a person who's not very powerful,
mm-hmm.
who seems to be insignificant on the world stage, who's not worth listening to, but you're pissed and angry and you'd like to be heard and and all that kind of stuff. If you would change that image you hold of yourself, you see, and you human beings, you know, could do that, what would happen is that you begin to see that this outer reality of yours, or even the circumstances of your reality, are not judgments of you and your inadequacies. They are not just giving you messages that you're, you know, you're insignificant nothing. What they are doing is saying, here is where you still give your power away. Here is still where you don't see the greatness of your being. Here is where you can make changes within yourself. And then from there, you can send this change out to change the world.
When you talk about resonance, it's like that goes out into the world in a resonant
That's
fashion.
Right. And that resonance is in harmony if your motivation is lined up correctly. If your motivation is lined up to divine union, and if you're saying, okay, to get to divine union, there are several things that are natural as a human being that you want to focus with, and one is to learn and grow and expand and become more of who you are and know that, okay? That's the self-realization, the learning. The second one is to imagine and dream and have visions and have dreams of how to make your life beautiful and what's possible, and to dream up new possibilities and all that kind of stuff, and create an interesting life and work with the stuff that of the illusion and so on, that creative activity, and move that energy of the Kundalini through your motivation with desire and passion into your life. Then there's a third, you know, third aspect, and that is to love, touch, and heal, because that's an aspect of the divine that is natural for human beings, to love, touch, and heal others, and to allow others to love, touch, and heal you. It doesn't matter how advanced you are or how self-reliant you should be, blah, blah, blah. That's always there. All of these three major areas are part of the journey home.
Love, touch, and heal. I like
love,
that a
touch,
lot.
Love, touch, heal, and then the second channel is create with passion. You know, and flow, the divine flow moves through you, and you create, and you're in alignment with your motivation. And the third one, the first one we mentioned before, was the expand and grow and learn, you know, the learning channel, we call it, you know, and be able to see who you really are, that you are a divine spark of consciousness.
Well, here's a little jump, too. I'm being playful here, but I love this question, which is, can you explain more about our universal selves? I know we have, like, concurrent realities and aspects of our souls that are living out different things. Are we going to unify? Are we going to become one with that? Can you explain something about that?
Well, what do you consider a universal self? Are you talking about a higher self? Or are you talking about...
I guess I think, this is what I'm thinking, I don't know everything, of course, but I'm thinking that we are connected to galactic centers, to star centers, and so on, by our soul's lineage.
Well, yeah, there is a lineage. You do have a spiritual tradition.
And we have aspects of ourselves that are still resonant in those, or living.
Well, yes, and you are also a representative of those spiritual traditions and of your spiritual family, and you're on the physical plane as a representative of your spiritual family, and your spiritual family is there, you know, watching you, being willing to help you, you know, and it's part of your tradition. And the thing is that people are beginning to uncover more and more pieces of these traditions that transcend, you know, physical plane reality. But it's also part of your journey home, is you are representing your tradition. You're representing your spiritual family, your lineage, your, you know, that kind of thing. And yeah, but that we don't see that as you becoming a more universal being, except in the sense that a person who seems to work across countries' boundaries is kind of considered a global citizen, right?
Right.
So, in that sensing, the person can see a larger and wider range of possibility and the way things go than people who, you know, people who stay in one little village all their life. They have a greater perspective. And so you, as spiritual beings, are adding a greater perspective yourself, And you may say, okay, maybe it's galactic, or maybe it's around the universe, and so on. But, you know, that's a lot of form. What you want to look at here is more of the intangible aspects of yourself, is your identity as a spiritual being is what's growing. This is, and then you become a galactic citizen. You become a universal citizen.
Do we become more able to access different dimensions when we want to?
Well, yeah. But right now, if somebody said, would you like to access different dimensions, you'd probably say, yeah, because it'd be fun, it's entertaining, and maybe I can make some extra money, that kind of thing. And of course, as long as your motivations tend to get stuck in the need complex and into the I'm going to be better then, I'm going to set myself up and finally be safe and secure and all that kind of stuff, or I'm going to play and then I'm going to have cosmic entertainment. You know, it is cosmic entertainment indeed, but you have plenty of worldly entertainment out. Look at the dog and pony show that's going on in the politics. You know?
But that's all inside of me. I've just learned that,
right? It's all inside of you, absolutely. The whole show is internal, and you don't even come into awareness of that until you get to a certain place where your physical plane illusion starts to kind of, you start to feel the impermanence of it so much so that it's almost as if you can have seconds of realization that you are in an illusion and it could just vanish.
Hmm.
It's almost as if, you know, how when you have a pile of salt and you pour water on it, the salt disappears
right
into the water. Hmm. It's almost like your reality, if you put consciousness onto it, it can just dissolve.
Well, now, is that a way also to, I don't mean the salt and water, but the metaphor there, is that a way for us to, dissolve, if you will, or neutralize so many of the impacts of other lives that are in this life right now?
Well, the impact of other lives is mainly in terms of intensity. It's not in terms of the themes are not coming from other lifetimes. The themes are here in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But the intensity of them and the sense of realness of them, if you have a limiting pattern that just keeps repeating itself over and over again, the greater sense of reality about it maybe have been intensified in your life by other lifetimes doing similar stuff.
Hmm.
But you don't have to go and do other lifetime work or really even focus on other lifetimes to complete and heal your process. What does happen, though, is that when you enter self-realization, the effects of your other lifetimes drops off. When you are done being physical, you and all your other physical lifetimes that you've experienced, which are all currently in the now, mm-hmm. your focus just happens to be on this moment or on this body, but they will all come together as one, and you will become one. And you will ascend into your higher self. But you can only do that if you really fully address all the issues and all the stuff in your life with a lot of love and compassion for yourself to establish what we call the matrix and the love, freedom, power, and safety, trust of the divine plan. Safety comes from a sense of being loved and supported by your divine friends. And by the divine within you, and then you can trust the divine plan that your soul has for you, you see?
And then your motivation is in alignment with the divine plan.
Right, that's one of the three channels we were talking about before, the imagine and create with passion and flow, you know, desire and passion through a channel. That's your imagination and desire and creation channel, okay? And so everybody's got that as part of their nature of God, being a God being.
Hmm.
You're all creative.
So if we're off kilter on a deep level and we're not anywhere near what our true nature is.
Yeah, if you abandon your true nature and try to achieve something, achieve a certain image, then you've really lost the whole point of things.
Well, doesn't the soul journey kind of whack us over the head and
well, generally that's when big challenges show up.
Little initiations here and there, right?
That's right, or yeah, what we call the kick-ass school of growth.
Yeah.
Or you can get situations where you get your wake-up calls.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make very strong, powerful choices for yourself.
Well, wake-up calls are sometimes really intense, aren't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, and sometimes the wake-up calls actually are precede death, even.
Yes, I know.
You know, sometimes they're just for you to get your awareness of what you came to get in this lifetime before you leave it.
Mm.
But for some people, it is life-changing.
Mm.
And when you realize that you are of infinite value and worth, you're not insignificant in the least. You are a divine being, and all of this illusion is your playground. You can then emerge. You can then, as yourself, step into a life that is balanced. And we don't mean balance between things that you have to do and you don't like to do and things that you do like to do.
Mm-hmm.
But even though that's where you start. You start by giving yourself time enough of doing what you do love to do to balance out all the stuff that maybe you don't really like to do.
So when somebody is going through, and this might be like an early metaphysical question, but I'm still going to ask it because I'm asked it a lot. If somebody's going through a really steady falling apart of their life and it seems like nothing they do works,
mm-hmm.
can
then
you...
Then they need to let go of their old identity, their mm-hmm. story about themselves. They need to let go of all their old visions and dreams. You know, because evidently those old dreams don't, you know, they don't work anymore. Let them go.
Or they were deceiving themselves, maybe.
Yeah, they let go of all that which they're holding on to. They have to let go. That's a sign that it's time for you to really let go of everything so that you can become truly renewed and new.
And it's kind of a surrender. Sometimes that's difficult financially for people. Sometimes it throws them into a real tizzy, doesn't it?
Well, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course, it scares the bejesus out of them.
It sure does.
And when people are based in fear, they are faced with this huge challenge. How do you motivate yourself out of something other than fear when your life's all falling apart?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a challenge of the spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can trust the divine plan, that you're not going to be casually tossed away and abandoned by the divine.
Mm-hmm.
That this is something of your own making to kick you, to trigger you, to initiate you to do something different, to be more,
mm-hmm.
to own who you are more. If you can use it that way, you can come out of it okay. But mm-hmm. you do have to let go of the past. That's what the dark chaos is about.
Mm-hmm.
And when the world is all just caught up in the dark chaos.
It sure is.
This old stuff that just doesn't work. All this, all the shame, all the male chauvinistic BS, all that stuff, all of it's on the way out. And it's hard for people to let it go because they're panic-stricken. What do I replace it with? They don't see it, and they're not willing to think about it because they're so panic-stricken.
Right.
So they're in that dilemma right now.
Mm-hmm.
You as a spiritual being, however, and those who are listening and those who are seeing themselves as being on a spiritual path, on their soul path, have to recognize that this is the time to really own who you are.
Right.
And so that you can radiate your light into your world and you can love, touch, heal.
And it's an option, isn't it? The shift is really an option in many of us, isn't it?
It's an option, but you chose to go to that option before you came here.
Right, okay.
You set yourself up so that you would get the opportunity to make that choice.
Hmm.
And some people are very stubborn learners, they're resistant,
mm-hmm.
and so they set themselves up and they get the silver hammer, bang, you know, over and over again, and still resist making the choice because they're so afraid they're going to lose something.
Yeah.
But if you're
Which they are, but it might be preferential to lose it.
Well, actually, if you're willing to lose everything,
mm-hmm.
you can gain everything.
I know, that's the most marvelous thing, isn't it?
Right, it's part of, you know, even in the Eastern philosophy, you've got that, they talk about letting go of the illusion, let go of it all, and then what you do get then is the divine connection.
Well, that's so wonderful, and I have to end this, just, and you're so delightful, and I don't like to, but I appreciate it.
Well, let us say just briefly that when we are talking about letting go, this doesn't mean letting go of money and your responsibilities and things like that.
Okay.
That's not what that's about.
Okay.
It's letting go of all the crap of your mind and your thoughts and so on and your feelings and all your story about yourself, all the bullshit, you might say, that's attached to it.
All the motivation to keep your identity
right.
perched all a
that,
certain
all
way.
All those negative motivations, that's what needs to go,
mm-hmm.
not the form.
Mm-hmm.
The form is will shift according to the function, according to the vibrations, to the resonance.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let go of the dark resonance. That's the dark chaos.
So that's the biggest job we've got, isn't it?
And that's the biggest job you've got.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, in the dark chaos it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into being and discovering who you are. And then you enter the light chaos where you can put together this whole new life.
Hmm.
And some people are starting to get into the light chaos, and amazing miracles and magic are happening.
Well, I think we're experiencing some of that here. But I also would like you to tell people about your Tuesday night gatherings that are going to be Friday night in the new year.
All right. Well, currently we have Tuesday night meetings that happen weekly that are intended to ramp people up so that they can function on higher spiritual levels, higher resonance, and they can also have more success in their physical material illusions as well and live just happier lives. And we have this, even though, of course, it's Tuesday night on the local level in Los Angeles, we also record every evening, and they're made available the day or two after by, you know, through a link.
Oh, that's
wonderful. And you can go onto the galexispirit.com website and sign up for this Tuesday night series. And you, too, can experience the magic wherever you are.
Wonderful.
And
now,
you don't get it on Tuesday night, but you will get it probably Thursday.
Isn't technology wonderful? So there's another question I have to ask you. Is one night, Bob and I made it to L.A., and we experienced one of your sessions, and you did this absolutely stunning energy healing thing there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still doing that?
Oh, we do. We do different ones every time.
And they'll be
and
on
we do
the
at
CD.
Least two meditations or two visualizations or two energy workings on whoever attends. And this also works according to the audio file, too. So if you subscribe and you download the audio file into your computer and you listen to it, it's going to be just pretty much like you're there.
Excellent. Well, we'll be certainly turning that on. That's at galexisspirit.com.
And it's called Audio Downloads Love and Healing. It's on the upper left side of the, or you know, of the of the page,
website
homepage. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we'll check Ginger's blog. Well, thank you ever so much, Galexis, and we'll be in touch again, hopefully for the next installment.
Oh, that would be wonderful, and it's always a pleasure for us to speak to you and your enlightened friends that come with you.
Thank you so much.
All right, dear one.
Thanks to Ginger.
Farewell.
Good night.